Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. You can always join us on the lines. Love it when you do. It's much more fun. 855-752-4842. Just on the board and screening the calls. Big show coming up for you today. Appreciate you tuning in. We have James Kelly. He's Northwest Wisconsin's news director, news bureau chief for Civic Media. Apparently, vice presidential wannabe. J.D. Vance is in Eau Claire today. We'll get an update for what's happening on the ground. Then our pal, John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation magazine. He's going to be joining us at 4:30. The Ideas Fest going on. He's got some part in that. We're going to catch up with John at 4:30. And just for the record, folks, I know we got a lot of social media folks out there. This stream is currently not working. We blame the stream provider. It's not us.
It is just not responding.
Everything else is working. So the good news is this is old-fashioned radio with a twist. We also have the Civic Media app. And just so happens we have the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest going on right now. And I know there's a word this hour that I'm going to tell you, but you are going to have to text in. So there's one winner per hour and either $100 cash or gold giveaway or the grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. All you have to do is text to win the Civic Media. This hour's keyword is radio. You are listening to the Dom Salvia Show on the radio because our stream is down. But hopefully you can download the Civic Media app, find your favorite station, and use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send the word radio for your chance to win the statewide contest. Once again, radio, download the Civic Media app. It is super cool, super easy, and they can win some stuff. And since the socials are down, you can listen to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines again open at 855-752-4842. Let's see. We got James Kelly on the line. Let's hear what's happening in Eau Claire. Oh, where am I going here? Can you grab him for me, please, Jess? Hey, James. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. What's going on in Eau Claire, my friend?
Oh, not much. Just a bunch of people listening to some old school analog radio, apparently.
Hey, if all else fails, James, you always got the radio.
Always got the radio. Yeah, we're about a half an hour away from when Senator Vance was expected to begin his remarks today. It seems like we're running on time so far. We did have some speakers earlier. It took about 20 minutes. So now the crowd is starting to simmer down a little bit after getting amped up for Derek Van Orden and Warren Petrick. So it's a pretty reserved energy right here now, even though, you know, 20 minutes ago they were all screaming USA.
Derek Van Orden speaking today, introducing J.D. Vance in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. James, any newsworthy comments? Were they talking about the concern for the pets in the Eau Claire area, or what was the messaging today, James?
I'll tell you what, there hasn't been any talk about the pets in the Eau Claire.
Okay, good,
yet.
Good.
But immigration was a topic that Derek Van Orden touched on, told the story about the migrant crime that took place in Prairie du Chien a few weeks ago. So right now we're just kind of waiting for J.D. Vance to appear. I'm sure he's going to touch on immigration a little more, and he may very well bring up the Springfield, Ohio situation. I would certainly expect that that's going to be part of his speech when he talks about immigration.
It seems to come up, even though those folks that are in Springfield, Ohio, that the Haitians that they're referring to are here legally and with permit, as folks like J.D. Vance and Derek Van Orden want that to be. What about the crowd, the venue? What's it like there, James?
Yeah, so this event is actually taking place at the same place that the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz rally took place at a few weeks ago. The difference, this event is indoors in the High Country Building rather than outside. So if you remember, that rally had an estimated crowd by campaign staff of about 12,000. I talked to some local authorities here. The capacity for this building is only 1,900, and I've been told that they capped the capacity at about 500 for this event.
So 500 capped at the event in Eau Claire. J.D. Vance out campaigning in the state of Wisconsin. Now, my understanding, this is what, the second time he's been to Eau Claire in 6 weeks. What does that tell you about how these candidates are looking at the state of Wisconsin, James?
Well, yeah, it's definitely a competitive area and a really important area for both parties. Obviously, there's going to be a competitive congressional race between Rebecca Cook and Congressman Van Orden coming up in November. So J.D. Vance, actually, he was here the same day as Kamala Harris last time. Yes. They had a little run-in at the airport, settled that pretty quick. And then I believe he actually stopped by a local ice cream store called Olson's.
Well, I hope he didn't have his ice cream vanilla shake with a straw.
Apparently. I mean, that is the least manly thing he could have possibly done.
According to Jesse Waters, James Kelly, Civic Media's Northwest Wisconsin News Bureau Chief in Eau Claire. The crowd, what about the dress? Is it the MAGA? Is it the typical kind of dress that we're seeing there?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot of MAGA hats. We actually did see somebody earlier today who was the fitting image of Donald Trump with a suit and red tie, all the boots. It looks like he put a lot of commitment into that bit. Yeah. And quite frankly, I'm disappointed that I can't find him now.
they kind of blend together there, James. You know, it's been kind of a staple, and I've been to dozens of Donald Trump rallies over the years, and it is a staple to, you know, look at the media, you know, assembled in the back and refer to them as the crooked media and make fun of the media and all. You know, that's just kind of the shtick that Donald Trump has done. Has there been any talk of the media or any references to the media so far? And in your experience, James, have you heard some of that in the past during this election cycle?
I'll tell you what, I actually heard it a few weeks ago when I was covering Donald Trump's town hall in La Crosse. He had at one point pointed up towards where all the reporters and media were sitting and referred to us as the fake news. I don't know if I'm going to expect that from J.D. Vance today, but if it happens, I certainly wouldn't be surprised.
It is kind of apropos for this campaign cycle. James, anything else you want to share with the audience? J.D. Vance supposed to go off in about a half hour, my understanding.
Yeah, about a half hour. Everything seems to be running on time for this one. So we'll see what he has to say when he hits the stage.
All right, man. Maybe we will check in with you later. Thank you for the update. James Kelly, Civic Media's own Northwest Wisconsin News Bureau Chief. We appreciate you checking in. Our fair audience, we appreciate you checking in as well. 855-752-4842. Oh, man, a lot of news, a lot of crazy, like weird news, that like P. Diddy news that I wouldn't normally cover, but apparently he has been remanded to custody. We will get to some of that. And again, we have John Nichols from the Cap Times and the Nation joining us at the bottom of the hour. Quick little update here. I thought this was interesting reporting today from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I hadn't heard this, so here you go, folks. Eric Hovde has replaced key team members as he continues to trail Tammy Baldwin. Ruh-roh. Daniel Bice, Lawrence Andrew are reporting at the Journal Sentinel. Apparently, over the last 3 months, the multimillionaire baking mogul has... I got to wonder if that's Bice's contribution to the article. Daniel got a flair for the words. The multimillionaire baking mogul, but it's true.
It's true.
It's true. Has parted ways with fundraising and media consultants and the top member of his communications team, according to multiple sources. Ruh-roh. Hovde in June ended business with Ascent Media, the media production and consulting group, following what insiders described as a disconnect between the campaign and the organization. And the campaign split with its in-state and out-of-state fundraising consulting teams, the Wisconsin-based Swanson Strategies and Tag Strategies, respectively, around the time of the RNC over what Hovde believed to be lagging fundraising numbers. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, I get it, but doesn't some of that fall on the candidate?
I mean, if you can't convince them to part with their money.
I mean, just maybe a little bit could be the candidate, and you really can't dismiss the candidate. Just this month, Hovde's communications director, Ben Vogel. We know Ben, man. I used to have beers with Ben. He was our hookup when we would get Ron Johnson on the show back in the day. Ben was a nice guy. I don't agree with his politics, but Ben is a nice guy. Now, Ben apparently left the campaign with just under 2 months until the election. The media and fundraising teams have since been replaced. We know about the polling. Baldwin seeking her third term, holding a consistent lead over Hovde. What else do we got here? The campaign is also severely outpaced by Baldwin's fundraising operation since Hovde entered the race in February. Now, Hovde raised $16.7 million, including a self-loan of $13 million. Come on.
Just a little loan. I mean, that's pocket change, right?
I mean, I guess if you're that rich, but allow myself to introduce myself. I mean, if you got to fund, you know, $13 million out of $16.7 million is coming from your own pocket. Let's just say it doesn't seem like a grassroots movement.
No.
$16.7 million, including a self-loan of $13 million through June 24th, finance reports show. Baldwin, by comparison, has brought in more than $36.7 million, and they don't say how many millions Baldwin contributed to her own campaign.
Well, I mean, seeing as her net worth is about a million.
So probably not 13.
Probably not.
Hovde's campaign declined to answer questions about the changes. Rather, a spokesman for Hovde leveled criticism at Baldwin. Well, of course they do, because it's the political season. Here's a quote from Zach Bannon in relation to Steve Bannon. If you want to talk about staff turnover, you should talk about the revolving door of Tammy's staff to K Street. Referring to D.C. Street Home and offices of lobbying firms. Voters are worried about paying bills and keeping their families safe after the disastrous results of Tammy Baldwin's policies. We will commit when you ask us a question that matters to the people, or we will comment, pardon me, Bannon said, we will comment when you ask us a question that matters to the people of Wisconsin. Journal Sentinel reported in December that 24 Baldwin staffers have either come from or gone into the lobbying business. Still, other Republicans have recently complained about Hovde's campaign. Republican Congressman Glenn Grothy said he was running a terrible campaign. My pal, conservative radio host Vicky McKenna, also recently took to the airwaves to express her concerns about Hovde's chances. While he's a great candidate, Vicky said, the campaign has been weak. I like him so much that it hurts me to say that, but I think the campaign is weak. Well, you don't shake up the campaign when things are going great. Eric Hovde, the writing might be on the wall, but you got to do something and you can't fire yourself. Hope your own check didn't bounce. At least you owe yourself $13.7 million. But just ask Michaels, man. You're going to hope you can get that money back. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Coming back with your calls. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Good news, all you techies out there. The socials are back up.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! We gave the flux capacitor a kick, put some grease on it, some ball bearings, and next thing you know, here we go. So, even though that's up, you can find it on, I guess, what, the YouTubes for Civic Media.
The YouTubes,
the Facebookies. We're on the Twitter, the XZ2, or
yeah.
Well, all right,
yeah.
All over the place. And you can always check out the visual there. Let me tell you, it's quite compelling. But also, this is radio, man. You listen to us on the radio, and that happens to be the goal for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. The word today is radio. Radio. So make sure you go download that Civic Media app. You punch in the word at the bottom. You text it. Use the text button and your screen. Find the word, send the word, the keyword radio for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Weekly prizes, grand prizes. It's all cool. It's radio. So check it out and please get involved. Share with your friends. Download the Civic Media app. It's super cool. As mentioned, John Nichols is going to join at the bottom of the hour, but let's take some of your calls. Some folks have comments on the Hovde. Apparently, Hovde is doing a little shakeup over at his campaign, not doing as well as they hoped. So our pal Ben Vocal is out. He was a communications guy. Some of the fundraising, folks. They are out. And he sent himself $13.7 million on his own campaign. Yeesh. Out of what, $16 million? Something around that. You know, don't quote me. It's pretty close. Jake from the MKE, you're up. What do you got for us?
Yeah, you know, he's just not a likable person. I mean, he's like, love me, Wisconsin, love me, I love you. You know, with all his ads, always trying to prove to be loved and how good of a guy he is and all this stuff. But, you know, he's just another rich guy from out of state who has no idea about how Wisconsin works. I mean, and Tammy Baldwin, she's very strong and she appeals to more people, yeah, even like Republicans. And she really understands about, you know, the fact that they do need legal migrants in on the farms and everything. And so when he's using that stuff against her, it's like, it's so fake. I mean, and trying to tie her to things that she's not even should be tied to. It's ridiculous.
It comes across as like acting, as manufactured, not like,
yeah,
like genuine. Yeah. I don't know if maybe that's a product of being that wealthy. I mean, Michaels, I think had politics inside, delivery. I mean, Hubdy seems to come across as a little less of a harsh personality than Michaels did. I mean, Michaels literally told everybody in the state of Wisconsin that they were lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not great.
Yeah,
and then
he
followed up with Jake, like, oh, well, I realize all the pandemic money has all been spent, but no, dude, that's terrible. You don't say that. And he didn't, you know, he was also, an out-of-state guy, a millionaire as well. And these guys got lots of homes. Hubdy comes across as perhaps a little more genuine than that, at least to me, Jake. But I wonder if it's that, if you're that rich, you know, is it hard to connect with, you know, folks that are actually gassing their car up and, you know, going to the grocery store? I mean, I don't know to what degree, but I think there might be some of that disconnect. When he came out with his first ad, Jake, he didn't even talk about the state of Wisconsin. He's like, oh, my name's Eric Hubdy and I'm running for Senate. Great. Of what? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but overall, he's just a bad candidate. I mean, there's nothing to me that's likable about him. And, I mean, even the porn stash is just kind of like, you know,
honestly,
like,
man, the mustache is about the most likable thing about the man.
Ooh, that's a very harsh criticism that, like, you've just given him.
I mean, really, he should just say, hey, Wisconsin, I'm gonna give you a mustache ride you'll never forget. He'll never win, but at least it'll be funny.
I can see the t-shirts now, man. Thanks for the call, Jake. 855-752-4842. The mentality of Michaels and Hubdy, I think in their ability to relate, I think, and that, I think there's a disconnect there. Certainly, I mean, the guy's got to throw in 13 of his own million dollars of his own to get to anything worthwhile. There's no grassroots there. He fired his fundraising team, and you know, it's kind of hard if you're a candidate that is not inspiring anybody. It's real hard for people to want to give money to you. But he's making some shakeup. Maybe it will do him good with, 49 days remaining in this election cycle. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Yeah, as far as Tammy Baldwin being connectable, I mean, I've run into Tammy Baldwin at Willie Street Co-op, talked to her, you know, for a little portion of time, and at the end of the conversation, she gave me a hug.
Yeah.
And I cannot see Eric Hovde actually making that kind of personal contact with him going out and doing his own grocery shopping as well. I mean, years ago when I think Tammy might have been still in the state house, but maybe she's a congressional candidate, I used to run her all the time at the kitchen hearth getting her own lunch.
Yeah.
Not having a staff member get up for her, getting her own lunch. I mean, that's the kind of human being that she is. I mean, and when I call Tammy Baldwin's office, usually talk to a real person, call Ron Johnson's office, always goes to voicemail.
No one wants to take those calls. Mark, I mean, come on. How many people are calling Ron Johnson saying, Ron, you're doing a hell of a job. Keep it up. You know what I mean?
I mean, they call in to say, Ron, you're doing a hell of a job. Right. Like, it's
you're doing a hella job?
No.
No, not a hella job.
No.
It's all going to hell. Thanks for the call, Merck. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Remember the word of the day, radio. You're listening to the radio, unless you download the Civic Media app and you're checking out there, or the YouTube or Twitter or Facebook. Wanted to throw this out there for your consideration. Kind of brings us up to our next guest. Nancy Pelosi in Madison chides Trump, warns of a threat to the U.S. Uh-oh, don't tell Trump. Here is what she said, that the Republican Party has been hijacked. She recalled Trump's baseless comments that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, are eating pets, letting loose on the former president. Here's what she said. I thought this was great. Pelosi, quote, he projects. He says crazy Nancy, he is crazy. He says crooked Hillary, he's crooked. Every adjective he uses is really about himself. So when he says people are eating cats and dogs, I'm just wondering him. Right. An equally important firewall, she said, would be Democrats taking control of the U.S. Senate, as she personally recognized Wisconsin candidates seeking to defeat Republican incumbents. It's good for our country. It's absolutely essential that the White House, that the House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, has the gavel as Speaker when Congress votes to accept the results of the Electoral College. Now, she did reflect on her 5 decades in American politics, over 40 years of which she spent in the U.S. House. Her work on the Democratic Party started as her children entered school. She decided to volunteer in politics to fill her time. What bothered me was I'm a mom of 5, and 1 in 5 children goes to bed hungry each night. That was my mission, to be engaged in politics, to prepare candidates, to do grassroots work. Then they came to me and said, you love the issues, you love policy, you should run for Congress. And she did, and we know that story. The Cap Times putting on the Cap Times Idea Fest. Civic Media is a partner in that. John Nichols from The Nation and the Cap Times is a speaker there, a presenter, an interviewer. He'll join us next.
All veils and misty. Streets are blue. Almond looks that chill divine. Some silken moment goes on forever. And we're leaving broken hearts behind.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. We appreciate you tuning in. We're going to be joined very shortly by our friend John Nichols. He's from the Cap Time. He's from The Nation magazine. And we're going to bring him on right now. John, thank you, man. Working on these new phone numbers. I'm still confused. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, man. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm good to be with you, brother. And trust me, you're not the only radio show that's struggled with
phones. I mean, the tech, it's been one of those days, but the streams are up, the phones are working, we're good to go, and we got John Nichols on the line. John, I had seen the Cap Times Idea Fest, and you're involved. Civic Media is a partner in that, and it's going on right now. There's actually a few free tickets for virtual events, and some single night sessions are still available according to the website, CapTimesIdeaFest.com. Let's go there first, John. How's it going, and what's your involvement this year?
Well, it's going very well, and my involvement is relatively extensive. Last night, I interviewed Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, who was great. Yeah. Really had some powerful things to say about, you know, running a major city, the third largest city in the United States, at a very complex time. And so it was a great conversation, and he was super dynamic.
Yeah.
And then after I finished with Brandon Johnson, we had a discussion with former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who's not an unknown figure in our times. Perhaps the most powerful and influential person in America at this point because of the role that she played in convincing President Biden not to seek a second term. And
yes, she said, what did she say? She made a comment I saw reported in the Cap Times about maybe influence. She was very humble about it, in my opinion, John.
Yeah, she's very humble, but she does it all with a wink of the eye, kind of a sly look.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is she's a very, very sharp political figure, and she knows she knows how to do politics in Washington. She's
right.
been at it for the better part of 50 years, and she was very open about her history in politics, kind of coming as she said, as a relatively shy person. Entering into the political dynamics of Washington and over time figuring them out, spending a lot of time studying it, and ultimately rising to a position where she was third in line of succession for the presidency of the United States.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Or I guess second in line, how you calculate it. And so she was really great. And it was, as was Brandon Johnson. So it was a good Monday night. As the week goes on, we're going to have all sorts of remarkable figures, journalists, political leaders, former political leaders. On Wednesday night, I'm going to interview Tommy Thompson.
Yes.
Or Wednesday early evening. And I'm really looking forward to that. You know, I think people are so familiar with Tommy Thompson. He's been around for so long that people, they see him as a permanent fixture in America or in Wisconsin politics to some extent American politics. And he is, to give you a sense of the historical reach of Tommy Thompson, in 1964, he invited Barry Goldwater, the great conservative leader, to Madison and escorted Goldwater around the Capitol and the campus.
Wow.
As a college student. 2 years later, he took on one of the senior members of the state legislature in a Republican primary and beat the guy. So his political career stretches back to, literally the mid-1960s.
That's crazy.
And it's not over yet. I know. So, and a lot of revealing things. You know, the thing about Thompson is he's a conservative. He's a Republican. There's plenty of people who disagree with him on particular issues. But the one thing that's fascinating about him is that whenever he has been in a position of power, he has generally been one of the more successfully bipartisan leaders. And so that's one of the things I want to talk with him about is, in this incredibly divided moment, are there still ways to figure out how to govern? And he's got a lot to say about that. So I'm looking forward to that. And then right after that finishes, I believe, if I've got my schedule right, Doris Kearns Goodwin will speak, the great historian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty big deal. She's kind of an amazing figure in both our politics and our literary lives. And then, of course, on Friday night, you've got Liz Cheney, who's also made a little bit of news of late.
The Cap Times Idea Fest, John. Folks, you're listening to Dom Salvi. So John Nichols from the Cap Times and from The Nation Magazine talking about the Cap Times Idea Fest. You can find it online. Tommy Thompson, and also you talked about the former vice president, Liz Cheney, daughter Liz Cheney, conservatives, Republicans. Is this common? I mean, the Ideas Fest, do you normally bring in, conservatives and liberals, progressives and independents and media folks? I mean, what's the overarching goal here, John?
The overarching goal is to be interesting. and I know that sounds, kind of glib or casual, but that's pretty much the heart of it.
Yeah.
And so you want to have the people that are shaping the discourse in our times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's going to involve, if you're honest about it, it's going to involve progressives. It's going to involve conservatives. It's going to involve some, more moderate folks, people from across the spectrum. And I guess the standard that I look at when I invite people, or sometimes I do, sometimes other folks do, is that you want to have figures who, can give you a compelling hour, right? Because that's what it is. It's an hour of discussion, some questions from the interviewer, sometimes from the audience. But to give you a compelling hour where you actually get something more than just a soundbite, something more than the usual stuff. And so as an example, I've known Judy Collins, the singer, for a long time. And so we invited her for
Saturday night. She's going to be on at 6.
Nice.
And she's amazing. You know, to give you an example of Judy Collins, she's the person who, like, one of the first people who recorded a song by Bob Dylan. Back, she put her first album out a year before Bob Dylan. And then on one of her early albums, put on 3 Dylan songs. She's the guy who talked Leonard Cohen into, you know, going into music.
Oh, wow.
Right? Got him on stage. She's the guy, she's the person, she's the individual that Stephen Stills wrote the song Sweet Judy Blue Eyes about, which became a global hit, and you still hear on album radio and blah, blah, blah. She was a witness in the trial of the Chicago 7, and because she'd been so involved in anti-war politics and had an incredible confrontation with the judge there. She was in Mississippi registering black voters before the Civil Rights Act.
Wow.
She was, you know what I mean? Yeah. The history goes on and on. Her song Bread and Roses was probably the critical song for, you know, kind of helping people to understand the rise of women in the workforce and the unionization of women and stuff like that. So she just got this incredibly long history.
Yeah,
and she's very funny and very cool. Right. And so, again, she's somebody that could give you a compelling hour of discussion. And that's the heart of it. So you're going to primarily the people who are speaking are journalists and political figures. Obviously, Judy Collins is a cultural figure. You're going to have a lot of other events that are being held. There's a long schedule people can find online of events that look at issues, things like can we ever have affordable housing in Madison? And so lots of good people, dozens and dozens of folks involved in different seminars and forums. And I have to say it appears, knock on wood, because things can always evolve one way or the other, it's going okay. Last night we had people lined up, an hour, almost an hour and a half before.
Wow, nice, John.
Started.
Excellent.
I know.
Yes.
Folks are showing up. They're showing interest, and why would we be surprised? It's Madison, Wisconsin.
Right. So it's a great market for it, John.
People. Absolutely, man.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. John Nichols from The Nation, from the Cap Times, talking about the events going on right now, the Cap Times Idea Fest. You can find it online, CapTimesIdeaFest.com. Before we move on to other topics, John, I just want to get your sense of Tommy Thompson. We had a caller text in. Well, he's supporting Trump, so he's MAGA. Do you alter your conversation with a conservative like Tommy Thompson, who's more of a traditional, at least historically traditional GOPer, and now he's backing, you know, Trump, who a lot of folks take issue with him trying to overthrow the government and all that. I mean, do you address that with a guy like Tommy?
Sure to do. You have a good discussion, but I think that's part of what makes Tommy Thompson so very, very interesting, because he is a lifelong Republican. He's deeply committed, you know, to the Republican Party. It's where he's at. But this party has changed radically.
I'm saying
during his 60 years, you know, of being a Republican activist, and so I'm fascinated by what he has to say about that, and how he reconciles it in his own mind. I talk to him a lot, and I will tell you, he is always thinking. He is always, in my experience, very reasonable, very rational, very thoughtful. And I think that's a really useful thing. It gives an insight for folks who, you know, in this very divided time,
yeah,
gives people an insight on where folks are at. You can disagree with them. I can tell you, brother, there's an awful lot of people who disagree with me on an awful lot of issues. Right?
Yeah, but normally those issues aren't going to involve, you know, throwing out the Constitution, overthrowing the government. I'm down with the, you know, what should the cap gains be?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the old things we used to argue about, John. This is an entirely different situation. You look what is being fomented in Springfield, Ohio. Donald Trump at the debate. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. Yeah. The Republican, governor from Ohio, you know, pushing back the mayor from the law. I mean, it is getting really, really ugly over there. This is nothing new, I guess, historically, you know, trashing the immigrant population, but it seems to be getting really ugly, John. What's your take on the current situation?
It's ugly. You're right.
Yeah.
it's about as ugly as I've seen. And I've covered politics for, I was interested in politics before I covered it.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a roundabout way of saying that I've been paying attention to this for a ridiculously long time and seen it at its best and its worst. And what I would tell you is this, I know that America has gone through insane times politically. And I'll give you an example. 100 years ago, when Robert M. La Follette ran for president of the United States from Wisconsin, one of the reasons he ran was because the Ku Klux Klan had effectively insinuated itself into and pretty close to taken over both major political parties. The Klan was a major presence in the Democratic and the Republican parties.
Yeah.
Didn't mean they ran everything, but they were there and they were, you know, calling a lot of shots. The Klan was on the march nationally, not just in the South, but in northern states. I mean, when you think of that, you know, it's like that's pretty bad.
That was bad.
70 years ago. yeah, that's awful.
That's bad. Yep.
You know, and horrifying and scary. 70 years ago, Joe McCarthy was the most influential guy in Washington.
Yeah.
And running a Red Scare that was, you know, not just messing with, you know, the politics of the country, but the culture. All sorts of topics. It was, you know, things were really getting ugly. They were putting people in jail for their political beliefs.
Yeah.
That was 70 years ago. I mean, and even more recently, I mean, you look at, you know, I'm trying to think of examples. There's so many of them along the way, but we've been bitterly divided, you know, at all sorts of points. I mean, you look at you know, the circumstance in the early days of Barack Obama's presidency when you had the Tea Party movement. And you know, things that they were saying about Obama.
Well, I mean, but back then, and John, we're almost out of time, man, but I just look forward to the days where the tan suit's the biggest problem. John Nichols from the Cap Times, from The Nation Magazine. Find him on Twitter at Nichols Up Rising. John, thank you for your time, man. Always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
It's a total honor to be with you, brother. Good luck with the show.
Thanks, man. Folks, this is the Dom Savage Show coming back with your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. To the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open, 855-752-4842. I want to thank John Nichols, my most recent guest and friend. He's from the Cap Times, from The Nation Magazine. Big part over at the CapTimesIdeaFest.com. You can go check that out. And if you haven't got tickets yet, apparently still have a few single tickets open. You can also pay attention, watch online. CapTimesIdeaFest.com. Civic Media, a partner in that endeavor. Madison's a great spot to go see that. So if you have some time and you're interested, go check it out. Again, the word of the day for the statewide Civic Media contest is radio. It is radio. Go for the green or gold. So you can text radio, download the Civic Media app, text the word radio for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Weekly prizes, grand prize, a trip to Green Bay for a game against, I believe it is, the New Orleans. So we encourage you to do so. Again, thank you, John Nichols. J.D. Vance, came on a little bit early with Megan. If you folks, we're kind of figuring out, you know, how the Dom Salvia Show is going to go here. A lot of it's been kind of like the Dom and Friends thing. And Megan and I are friends, and Matt Rothschild are going to come on tomorrow. I think Earl's coming on Thursday. We got James Santel coming on once again on Friday. Megan and I are going to swap a couple of segments during the week. I'll come a little earlier one day, I believe, Monday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which days we're doing yet, but I'll come in a half hour early. One of the days she'll stay a half hour later. So we're going to have a lot of fun with a lot of the favorite personalities and favorite folks that I love to hang out with and talk politics with, man, because that is what this is all about. I appreciate you just doing the hard work on the J.D. Vance sound. Now, J.D. Vance apparently is very upset with all this rhetoric that's going on. And he had some comments on the assassination. Apparently he wanted an apology from the media today. We'll maybe get to that as well. But let's hear what he had to say, starting with cut number two. Here is cut number three, J.D. Vance, on the attempted assassination. Please, Jess.
I promise I will do my part to tone down the rhetoric, but in particular, the people telling you that Donald Trump needs to be eliminated, you guys need to cut it out or you're going to get somebody hurt. No one has tried to kill Kamala Harris in the last couple of months, and two people now have tried to kill Donald Trump in the last couple of months. I'd say that's pretty strong evidence that the left needs to tone down the rhetoric and needs to cut this crap out. Somebody's going to get hurt by it.
Well, that's why that's not evidence. Causation, correlation. What are we talking about here, J.D. Vance? And nobody, I have not said it. Nobody said it that I am aware of. If you can give me an audio clip or show me a quote where someone on the left or someone in the media, or be it Kamala Harris or Joe Biden, say we need to eliminate Donald Trump. That has never been said.
No.
We need to defeat him roundly. He needs to answer for his crimes.
Yep.
He needs to go to trial, a jury of his peers for his criming. He needs to be sentenced for his convictions. He needs to be roundly rejected for his racism, his misogyny, his sexual assault, his stealing of our crown jewels of security and the hoarding of the secret documents in Mar-a-Lago. He has to answer for a lot of things. And I want him healthy. I want him happy. I want him standing in court. I want him alive as long as possible so he can serve out, if convicted by a jury of his peers on the crimes for which grand juries were impaneled. They were given evidence and multiple times over and over and over and over again. Decided with the evidence that was seen that he indeed should be charged with those crimes. That's not wishing death or harm or elimination of anybody. That's called consequence. That's called being involved in the political process. That's called being called out for your asinine and racist and fraudulent and false statements. I can say those things and I can be angry about those things. I can be passionate. Anger is just like hard. Oh, that's hard. I mean, be passionate about those things. When Donald Trump, when someone wants to be president of the United States, sends out a tweet that says, I hate so-and-so. Is that ratcheting up the rhetoric or is that toning it down, J.D. Vance? What do you do to people you hate, J.D. Vance? So, the projection continues from the right.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say it over and over and over again. Political violence, violence of any kind is not condoned, is not okay. It is not part of the discourse, should not be. Of course, it's a fact of life in some degree. We are a flawed species.
That is true.
That's the endeavor of civility. Sure, and you know, I can have very harsh words for people like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. And still not wish them harm. That's okay. When someone says they're going to be a dictator, you can believe them. And if someone says they're going to be a dictator, they are not espousing and clamoring to stand up for the U.S. Constitution, to represent you in self-governance. That's not any of those things. Those are his words that I'm just repeating back to you and to him and to J.D. Vance. And when J.D. Vance comes out on Sunday, with the Dana Bash that says, yeah, if I gotta make stuff up to shine a light on the suffering of the American people because of Kamala Harris, and I'm gonna do that. No, dude, that's not what you're supposed to do. You wanna be the meme candidate? Okay. But that's not serious.
No.
I mean, you're the senator of the state of Ohio, so you're running for the vice presidency. What did you do when you were running? Was that a problem then? Because apparently these folks from Haiti came in legally starting around 5 years ago. And my math, and I don't like to do math on the radio, Jess, but my math says that was Donald Trump's administration. And certainly it continued. Are you offering more federal help? You know what I'm saying? If there's a problem, you don't spread lies and racist tropes about the savages eating your pets. I mean, come on.
No, you know what happens?
What?
That's insightful language.
Oh, yes. That is insightful
language. That's hateful language.
And it's almost like it would cause some folks to, I don't know, call in bomb threats.
Yeah.
And make kids stay home because you're threatening to bomb the schools. Make parents stay home because you're threatening to bomb the municipal buildings.
Mm-hmm.
That is insightful language, to your point, Jess. Saying someone should be held accountable for their actions. Saying someone should be held accountable for their words. That's not inciting. That's civil. That's an expectation of civility. That's why we do this thing. That's why you join us, 855-752-4842. Coming back with a happier happy hour next.